for the basis of our meditation this morning, let's turn and read from 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed of in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God, unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. May God bless the reading of his. When we hear the term addicted, we often associate that with despair. It has a negative connotation to it. However, the Bible uses the word addicted, but it uses it in a positive context. The Bible speaks of the house of Stephanas. They were of the first fruits of Achaia, which is the area where Corinth is in. And it speaks that they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. And it's a beautiful thing to see, and it was clearly something that provoked and drew the Corinthians to this same ministry and to help others. And so it says here that you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves unto the ministry of the saints. They had it in their hearts that they would help the saints. And they would be addicted to that. They would have a strong impulse that the saints need help. The saints need supported. The saints need their needs met. And so they would do that, this house of Stephanas. And as Achaia grew, as the church of Corinth grew, they found themselves in the same mindset, that they would help the saints. And then when we go and think of the two greatest commandments that the Lord has laid out, Lord Jesus Christ, he says that the greatest commandment is that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would love our neighbor as ourself. And so as that message has gone forth to the people of Achaia, to Corinth, Athens to those of Macedonia, Thessalonica, and Berea, and all through the regions round about, that message went forth. These are the greatest commandments. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so the house of Stephanas took this to heart, and they addicted themselves to this ministry of the saints. And it provoked the Corinthian church to do the same likewise. And so it's not just a matter of a thought or a will or a desire, but it's also a performance, a doing of these things. In James we read that the doer of the work shall be blessed in his deed. It is those who follow through, having a desire to love their neighbor as their self, and then also following through with that. And so this Second Corinthians speaks of an encouragement to the Corinthians. In the First Corinthians, the Apostle Paul had really a lot of correction that he needed to address in their midst. But in this second epistle to them, now he's encouraging them more and more. And so I would like to lay the background, perhaps, of a little bit of what's happening before we go through the scriptures here that we read this morning of chapter 9. There was a lot of encouragement to the believers there in Corinth. And both Titus and the Apostle Paul spoke well of them and were encouraging them. The Bible says that we shouldn't speak evil one of another, but here they're speaking well of one another as they should and as we should. But they even took it to a greater level, and they boasted of those of Corinth. In chapter number 7, verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes and says, For if I have boasted anything to him of you, speaking of Titus, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. The Apostle Paul here is saying, I boasted to Titus of you, Corinthians. I boasted of you. And it's found to be in truth. It's found to be in truth. And Titus, likewise, of himself, recognized the goodness of those and those who yielded themselves of the righteousness to righteousness that were in the Corinth church. Titus had an inward affection that was abundant toward them. He was remembering the obedience of them all and how with fear and trembling they received him. Titus saying, they received me with fear and trembling. They were obedient to those things that I gave them advice or commandments to do, that which I exhorted them. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. In all things. A man speaking about man, I have confidence in you in all things, that you are doing these things. And he says to the Corinthians, you're abounding in everything. In everything, you're just abounding. You're abounding in faith. You're abounding in utterance. You're abounding in knowledge. You're abounding in all diligence. They were diligent. They were addicted to the ministry of the saints. And your love to us. And he's saying, and I want you to abound in this grace also, in giving to those who have need of. And it wasn't just to the Corinth, to the Corinthians, that the Apostle Paul was boasting of, but he also boasted of them of Macedonia. He's saying, you know the grace of God that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. The Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthians, you know the grace that was abounded to the churches of Macedonia, how in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. If we go through the Acts of the Apostles, we see that the Thessalonica church was persecuted, and that severely. They were persecuted severely. If anyone had an association with the Apostle Paul, that house was persecuted severely. And in that great trial of affliction that they had an abundance of joy. And certainly they didn't have much, but of what they had, it abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They didn't have much, but they had great joy in their hearts, and they had a big heart, and they were willing to give. And one thing that we'll read through here in chapters 8 and chapters 9 of 2 Corinthians, that it's about bounty. It's about an abundance of giving and of love and of grace and all the good things of the Lord. So they were willing of themselves. They didn't have much. They didn't have much. The Macedonians, those in Thessalonica, those in Berea, they didn't have much, but they gave. And they gave much. They were willing of themselves. They gave themselves over to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That's what the Macedonians did. And so he's boasting of them likewise. And so he comes to the end of the previous chapter, chapter 8, and he says, "Wherefore, show ye to them," he's talking to the Corinthians, "that they would show to the Macedonians and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf." The Apostle Paul is telling them, show the proof of your love. I've boasted of you, now follow through with that. Show the proof of your love. And so then he gets now here to this chapter 9 that we read together this morning. And he says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you." So now in this regard, in this manner now, as I've boasted of you, and there's a proof of your love, and as we've done these things, it's not really necessary for me to write unto you as about the ministering to the saints. You know that. You know that when the church in Corinth started out, and Stephanus, in his house, and those that were in his house, they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. And he's saying, now continue in that. Continue in that, in the ministering to the saints. And so he's saying, as touching to the ministering of the saints, it's superfluous for me to write unto you. It's not necessary. You know that you need to be benevolent. You know that you need to help others. You know that you need to be gracious and give to others. That's not necessary. It's a fundamental principle of Christianity. So he's saying, it's superfluous for me to write unto you. "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you." Again, he's telling them, I'm boasting of you. I've really lifted you up on a pedestal. "To them of Macedonia, that Achaia," again, Corinth being in Achaia, "was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." And so there's when there's a willingness and a performance of ministering to the saints, what happens is it provokes others. It provokes others. And it's like, yeah, I should do that too. I should do that too. Oh, I see the blessings that are accrued to those who give of themselves, who give, who share. And not just sparingly, but in abundance. There's a great goodness there. And it provokes many to this. And we read in Hebrews where it says, "Provoke one another unto love and to good works." And so likewise, as it is for the Apostle Paul encouraging and provoking the Corinthians and speaking well of them, likewise for us, we are to give of ourselves. Because the Lord has given unto us, and given unto us in an abundant measure. And we should be willing to minister to the needs of the saints. It kind of goes without saying, as verse number 1 says. But our thought should be, what does my brother need? What does my sister need? How can I assist? How can I help? And how can I do it in a manner or in an effective way where if I give of myself, even to a great measure, that it can make a difference? The Lord will bless that and bless that abundantly. And so he's saying, your zeal hath provoked very many. I believe it's in Romans. Just the thought just comes to me that their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. And here he's saying, the word has gotten out. Those of Achaia, those of Corinth, They're very, very generous. They were ready a year ago to assist. They didn't have the opportunity yet, but they were ready to assist. Then he says in verse number 3, "Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed of this same confident boasting." So he's saying, I haven't come yet, and I'm not coming yet to Corinth, but I'm going to come soon, and I'm going to come with the brethren of Macedonia. But before I do, I'm going to send some brethren that will get the bounty that you have for the help of the ministering to the saints, to have that all ready to go, and that you would be prepared, that the boasting that I have of you would not be in vain. And so we know that we have it in our desire that we want to fulfill the second commandment, that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. That as we have opportunity, that we would do good unto all men, especially they of the household of God. We have that in our hearts and we want to do that. But we are forgetful people. We live in this flesh, and sometimes things just slip our mind, or we're not proactive as perhaps we should be. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm going to send some brethren ahead of time so that we get everything ready and prepared, that when I come with the Macedonians down to you, everything's going to be put in place and ready to be distributed and given as necessary. There's a proverb that says, the preparations in the heart of man is from the Lord. And so the Lord was even preparing the Corinthians that they would have this bounty ready and prepared to be given to those of Macedonia. Then he says here in verse number 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Whatever it is that that we desire in our hearts to do and how much to give, that comes back to us. That comes back to us. And the Lord is certainly encouraging the Corinthians through the Apostle Paul to give, and to give bountifully. There shouldn't be a reason where they would give sparingly. And likewise, we are also being encouraged to give bountifully and not sparingly. Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he says, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." There is a measure that is given back to us that's that's an equality to what we have given. The Bible also says that if we're merciful, mercy will be given back unto us. If we are forgiving, forgiveness will be rendered back to us. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, that is what we're going to reap. And then he encourages those of Galatia that let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's give. Let's support. Let's help. Let's be addicted to the ministry of the saints. Let's love our neighbor as ourselves, and let's continue, and we will reap if we don't give up, if we faint not, if we don't give up, but when we continue in these things. Every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. This is what God's desire is for us to be cheerful in those things that we give. Jesus says, freely ye have received, freely give. Everything that we have has come from the Lord, and so we should be free to give it. It's from the Lord, and we have the ability to just freely give it. If we have a willing heart, and a desire to glorify the Lord in our giving to him. You know, the Lord can provide for the saints, and he does. But the Lord wants to see us loving our neighbor as ourselves. The Lord wants to see us giving to our neighbor. The Lord can provide for our neighbor. He can do that. He can do these things, and he does it in a great way. But the Lord wants to see us as neighbor and neighbor, his creation, helping each other and giving to each other. If we know that the Lord loves us, if we're confident of these things and we've felt his goodness, we know that the Lord loves our neighbor likewise. Just as the Lord loves me, he loves my neighbor. And he's then rejoices when he sees neighbor loving neighbor. Loving those whom he loves. And so we are not to give grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And that when we give, that we would give with a joy in our heart. The Lord has given unto us freely, and we are freely giving. God has been good. And then we come to verse number 8, a powerful verse that stands completely on its own and can give us great comfort and great joy when we consider these truths that are written here. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. God is able to do this. And again, the words that are common here in this chapter is bounty, abundance, and with all these things that God can do, and when he does, he does it in a great measure. You know, we receive this great grace from the Lord. He is able to make all grace abound toward us. We rejoice in his grace. We feel our incapacity. We feel our failings. We feel our inability. We feel these things. But then when we feel God's grace, it comforts us. And the Apostle Paul is saying here that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Not just given in sparingly to us, but he's able to make all grace abound toward us. That we, always having sufficiency in all things, in everything, we have everything we have need of. In all matters, we have all things that we have need of. Always having all sufficiency in all things, that ye may abound unto every good work. This is what we're being called to. Being addicted to the ministry of the saints. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. That we would abound in these things. And not give sparingly or grudgingly, but abound in these things. We have an abundant grace given unto us. Jesus Christ says, I came to give life, and that more abundantly. Not sparingly, like we're just etching by, we're barely getting by. No, we have an abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an abundant life in him. We have an abundant amount of grace, and that we're able to abound in every good work. And then he quotes Psalm 112. He says, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. When we give to the poor, when we disperse abroad, our righteousness would then remain forever. He's saying you're enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. When the Apostle Paul is seeing that those of Achaia, the Corinthians, Athens, when we see them giving, and so he can be in Thessalonica telling the Macedonians, the Achaia, they're really going to help you. They're really faithful. They're addicted to the ministry of the saints. And there, it's not going to be a small amount. It's going to be a big amount. It's an abundant giving that they have through their bountifulness. Thanksgiving was given unto God. For the administration of this service, meaning the fulfilling of it, the performance of this service, not only supplieth the needs of the want, not only supplieth the wants of the saints, which is providing for the needs of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. And so we see this great glory that's given unto the Lord. That there's an abundance mindset that those who have, and even those who have maybe not as much, such as the Macedonians, but they had a large heart. They were willing of themselves to give. They had a willingness. And that's the key, is to have that willingness. The Lord is teaching me to love my neighbor as myself. It's the doer of the work that shall be blessed in his deed. And so there has to be a willingness first. And then a performance of those things, a doing of those things. And when this administration or this doing of this service, it not only supplies the needs of the saints, but then many thanks are given unto the Lord. Many thanks are given unto the Lord. And then he says further, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution among unto them and unto all men. So as the Macedonians, as others who were receiving of the gifts, of the grace, and of the needs, as they were receiving them, they glorified God. They glorified God. And they said the Achaeans, the Corinthians, they are in subjection unto the gospel of Christ. They are in subjection to the gospel of Christ. They were given a liberal distribution. There was a giving of a great amount. And then it says, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. And so we see here, What's happening here in these chapters and what the Apostle Paul is encouraging them to, there's a virtuous cycle. A virtuous cycle. Grace has been given unto those who yield themselves to the Lord. Grace has been given. Not a small amount. An abundant grace has been given to the saints. And as that grace is received, there is a love for God, a love for God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and there is a love for their neighbor. This grace provides that. And then there's a willingness to help the neighbor. And then there is a performance of supplying the needs of their neighbor. And then there is thanksgiving that is given unto God. There is glory that is given unto God. Needs are met. And then prayers from those who received the gifts, they pray for those who had given the gifts that they would receive the grace of God. And then grace is given unto them. And that cycle continues. Grace is given. There's a love for their neighbor. There's a willingness and a performance of giving, of serving the needs of the saints. Thanksgiving is given unto God. Spiritual, or all needs are met, spiritual and physical. Glory is given unto God because they see that they are subject unto the gospel of Christ. And prayers are given. And grace is given. And that virtuous cycle continues. And then the Apostle Paul here concludes this chapter by saying, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for all that he has given. Thanks for his abundant grace. Thanks for all that he has freely given unto us. Thanks for the abundant life that we can have in Jesus Christ. And so, as the Corinthian church was encouraged, you're being held on a high pedestal. We're boasting of you because you have it in your heart to do such good things and to help others. Do those things. Do those things. And likewise for us. Let's continue to do the good things that the Lord has called us to do. Let's continue to do those things that we have learned and know through the scriptures that it is good. That as we have opportunity, that we would do good unto all men, especially they of the household of God. That we would fulfill these scriptures. That we would do these things. Christ has given unto us an abundant life. And we are to rejoice in this abundant life. We are to abundantly give. We can all give. I think of the widow that had two mites and she put them in the treasury. We can all give. We can all give. And the Lord is calling us that we would be a cheerful giver, and that's what he's pleased with. Again, the Lord can provide for the needs of the saints. He doesn't necessarily need us to do that. He can provide. But he's calling us to provide. He's calling us to show love one toward another. And then when we do so, we provoke one another unto love and to good works. We encourage each other. And we see a brother or a sister, wow, they really gave of themselves in that. Maybe I should step up a little bit in that as well. Maybe I can do some of that as well. If we have a willing heart, if we have a willing heart and we give, our lives will be blessed. We will receive grace from God. The needs of others will be met. Glory is going to be given unto God when we have that willing heart. When we don't have a willing heart, everything is drudgery. It's difficult. We're not a cheerful giver. We're doing it grudgingly, and it's difficult. We think of Jonah, how he didn't want to go to Nineveh, and he wanted to go the other way. He didn't want to give of himself and yield himself to the Lord, and he experienced great difficulty in his life because of that. He didn't want to give. Think of the time when King David and his men came to Nabal. Remember the first husband of Abigail? And King David's men come to Nabal, and Nabal says, why would I take of my flock, of my meat, and of my water, and give to men who I don't know? He says, there's many of people who have separated from their masters. And he wouldn't give. And that night he's drinking and not sober, and his wife doesn't say anything to him. But when he sobers up, his wife tells him, yeah, David and his men were about ready to come and take revenge on you because you wouldn't give. Because you wouldn't give. And the Bible says that his heart turned to stone. And it remained like that for 10 days. And then after that he died. He didn't want to give. There was no blessings in his life. He didn't want to give. But the Lord is calling us to give. The Lord is calling us to give freely of that which we have received freely. He has blessed us with much. And his grace can be in us in an abundant measure if we yield ourselves to him. In the prophet Isaiah, first chapter, we read these words. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. You'll experience that abundant grace in your life. You will experience the abundance of the abundant life of Jesus Christ, if ye be willing and obedient. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. How do we know these things to be true? For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen.
Many beautiful reminders of the goodness of God that have been expressed unto us to encourage us in our faith, to remind us that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. It's the goodness of God that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's the goodness of God that desires, even as we prayed, that our hearts would be given fully to him. I was reminded of the time when Jesus was observing those that were giving gifts in the temple, and he observed the widow that gave the two mites. He did not observe her giving a smaller amount. He observed her giving all of her living, all that she had. And that is a good example and lesson for us of faith, to give our all unto our master. It is a reflection of what the Lord himself has done, as it is written here in verse 9. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. I'm reminded of what Jesus said when he began his preaching, that he had come to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the gospel to the poor. And his righteousness remaineth forever. The one who is eternal, the one who is greater than all, he is the one who has freely given us all things and given us the greatest gift in his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May to his name be all the praise and the glory now and forevermore. Amen.